What's going on, everyone? Welcome to a special episode of EG3, part of the EG3 show, right here on kcsportsradio.com, the JPEG Sports Network. I'm Eddie Greer, the host of the EG3 show, which is all about the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And today, bring you a special mini episode concerning, well, not really concerning, but focusing on the playoff battle, really the playoff intensity that's really had picked up. If you missed out on a race last weekend, the last 10 laps, you missed out on a treat, of course. Catch the highlights, that's different. But if you saw the action last Sunday afternoon, that was something else. Witness that we have seen in the past 3 years of this playoff format, which has brought the attention of the drivers being hungry. And it's just not, we're at the time now that drivers, of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, all three divisions are in their semifinal round. You win, you punch a ticket to Homestead. This is where we're at with this. You know, before this playoff madness, we had the inaugural chase for the Nextel Cup, the 10 races, of course, 10 drivers, 10 races to battle out. In the first year, I recall 5 drivers battling out for the championship. Kurt Busch, Mark Martin, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. 5 drivers over a blanket to Homestead with a dramatic climax at the start of the race. Kurt Busch losing the tire. And then all that ensued. Kurt Busch rallied from behind. You had Jimmy Johnson leading out at one point. Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was never really a factor in this. And then quiet Mark Martin of sorts being up in that mix as well. And then at the end of the mix, end of the race, Kurt Busch by, I believe, 2 points or 1 point. Actually, it was settled by, I think, around the 5 point mark that Kurt Busch won it in thrilling fashion. Granted that three of his competitors, all of them were right there with Kurt Busch, and somehow he was able to get it. So that was the normal format. You didn't have this all this drama of trying to win and advance to the next round, of course. And then after that, it kind of got a little stagnant a little bit. And then it graduated to 12 drivers, 10 races for the sprint, to the chase for the Sprint Cup. You had that going on for a little bit, which where, of course, Jimmy Johnson dominated that format as well. NASCAR tried to change it up a few more times. It was first 10, then 12, and then you go up now to the newer millennium of the playoffs, this new playoff format where you win and you advance to each round, kind of like March Madness. Like I say in the podcast all the time, this right here is March Madness, pretty much, of NASCAR getting eliminated from, well, 4 drivers being eliminated. If you're on the bottom 4, if you're not above the red line, then you're going to be automatically out, even though you're still going to be able to race the next week, but you're not going to be a part of the championship / playoff group. First year, of course, we saw in point of my special podcast this evening is to bring up, well, altercations in which factored in to a person not advancing or punching a ticket to Homestead, in which this case the first year going all the way back to where Kevin Harvick won in this format, the debut of this format. If I recall, Brad Keselowski, Jeff Gordon getting into it at Texas, a 1.5-mile track. Gordon was in position to possibly win that race in advance. Did not happen. Keselowski had something to say about it. And then the two drivers slash teams duke it out on pit road. And then, which after that saw, I believe both drivers did not advance to the championship four. Turn the page to year number two. Okay. Kyle Busch wins the championship. Right. Joey Logano had won, I believe, four or five races at that time, including sweeping the round of 12 races. And then during that time, though, he and Matt Kenseth had a little riff during that series there, which Joey Logano won the first race at Charlotte, went to Kansas. Of course, I was there. Of course, I remember this. And Joey Logano did not need to win to advance. Obviously, Kenseth was leading at that time. And then with less than five to go, Logano gets aggressive. He was the fastest car coming towards the end of the race, hawking down Kenseth. Next thing you know, with three laps to go, around that time frame, Logano gets into the back of Kenseth, spins him around, takes basically his championships with him. Kenseth wasn't happy with the way Joey raced. And then you turn the page to the round of eight at Martinsville, where we saw a ton of action last week and a couple years ago. Matt Kenseth was on a clear mission. And with a couple laps down, Kenseth takes out Logano, and the place goes in a frenzy. Logano frustrated, team stunned. Kenseth was parked, suspended for two races after that. Logano's chances for championship were over. So, Kenseth, Logano, their chances at advancing. Well, Kenseth was already done at that point. And Logano's championship hopes were gone out the door, which set up Kyle Busch's run to the championship. Okay, so now the last year, right? Trying to remember, something to happen, but now I can't remember it. But hopefully, it'll come back to me here pretty soon. Yes, there we go. The final race, the elimination race, round three, the round of eight, going to Phoenix. Matt Kenseth was in position to win. There was no altercation or anything like that. We didn't see any of this stuff where we saw Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin disagree last weekend. Not to that extent, but Phoenix, Alex Bowman up front, trying to upset the field. Kenseth was on, I believe, the front row at that time. He was in position to punch his ticket to Miami. What happens? A couple, I believe it either was Logano or Kenseth, getting in the back of Bowman. And then Kenseth also spinning out, really taking out his chances as well to go on to Homestead for that title. And speaking of which, we talked about Brad Keselowski on the podcast of not being able to get, since the format has changed to the Final Four, Kenseth has not, he or Keselowski have not been able to get there. And Kenseth obviously is eliminated from this year's playoffs. Meanwhile, Brad Keselowski, even though he did not win last weekend, he labeled it as a must win. He is still in a position to transfer into Homestead. But yes, that margin right now isn't really safe, because what happened to Kyle Larson with 29 points at Kansas blew an engine, which saw his hopes go up in smoke. So he is safe, but not safe yet. So to put it lightly, EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com, which brings up all the crazy madness happened last Sunday evening under the lights. The first time ever that a cup race was held in prime time, which finished under lights, really. Did not start in darkness. It started in just after midday. And the last 10 laps, I gotta tell you, this was probably the most wildest race yet. And it kind of goes back to last week at KC, where we saw all kinds of madness with the playoff drivers. This went up to a new level. Why? Because of the situation. Playoff racing. You win, you automatically. And we didn't see this 10 years ago. And that's the point I'm trying to get at with this here tonight with you guys, folks, is that playoff racing rewards you in so many ways that you can have opportunities to, of course, advance through rounds. And then if you get to this point, which we're at now, the round of eight, you have an opportunity to win and you are rewarded magnificently with a chance to run specifically for the championship in Miami here in a couple of weeks. We are seeing a total different aspect of racing we did not see back in the debut of the playoff format, which of course goes back to 10 drivers, and then there was a period of 12 drivers racing for the championship, and you're only getting maybe two drivers battling out for the championship in Miami. You know, it goes back, one of the more good battles of the championship in that format, gotta go back to where Jimmy Johnson caught Denny Hamlin when Denny Hamlin supposedly had the championship on lock, made a mistake at Phoenix, and it kind of went on downhill from there. Lost all the momentum, and of course Jimmy Johnson won another championship. Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, that was a classic battle that went all the way down to the final laps at Homestead. The two of them were dead heat going into Homestead. Carl Edwards had an opportunity to win a championship, then had a chance to win a championship last year and didn't get it done. Well, of course, we all know what happened with Carl Edwards last year. Got taken out by Joey Logano. And, of course, this year, who knows? If Carl Edwards wins one of those championships, he might be still racing. I mean, again, I've said this on the podcast a few months back about Carl Edwards. You know, elusive. Having that championship laid, lose that championship not only once but twice in two different formats. And Carl Edwards, by far, last year in last year's Final Four, had the best car but could not get to the finish because of a big incident with another Final Four driver. So, again, to refresh you on what took place, a lot happened here, and this could go of two ways here. And I had Denny Hamlin in the Final Four on paper at the start of this playoffs, because I thought coming in he had gathered a lot of momentum through the last three races, had a streak going of top tens of some sort as well. I don't know the exact number on top of my head. Hamlin, Elliott, Chase Elliott was leading, and of course, it's all well documented by now, the elusive first win that continues to evade Chase Elliott in all sorts of ways. Getting chased down by Kyle Busch at Dover, saw that go away. And then here, he had by far at the end of the race the best car of the field, knocked Keselowski out of the way. And then a couple laps later, he gets wrecked from behind, jacked up by Denny Hamlin. And then after the race, while Kyle Busch goes on, punches his ticket to Miami, the two of them have a discussion on the backstretch there. And it's a product, from my view, it's a product of this racing. If we were in the old format, I don't think we'll be seeing this kind of type of racing. Definitely we'll be seeing this kind of type of racing where drivers go over their heads here to make something happen. And Chase Elliott, of course, gave it and take it away. Gave the contact to Keselowski. But the key thing here is Keselowski did not spin out. He went up, way up the racetrack there of turn three. And then the big difference maker here, this could be a huge change in direction these playoffs here. Denny Hamlin, he was in position to win this race, but he had other plans in mind. Simply wrecked Chase Elliott from the back, had his wheels all the way up the ground, and Elliott went for a spin, and there goes his championship hopes. Well, at least not yet anyways. The way Chase has been running here so far, I wouldn't count them out just yet. Because look at the tracks coming up. Texas, he's pretty solid there. But again, I'm going to circle Phoenix for Chase Elliott. He was up front in the spring race at Phoenix. Leading, he led a lot of laps out there. Finished in the top 10 somewhere in that mix. And he was a factor in that. So, anybody has some kind of peck for Texas. And yes, because of the fact that he has been really strong throughout these playoffs. And you take away some of these finishes, the Martinsville and Talladega. He has been by far the top three drivers in these playoffs. You can throw Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. in front of Chase Elliott. And again, I'm not going to count him out just yet. 26 points, yes. He's definitely in a must-win situation from here on out if he's going to bounce back and grab a spot at Homestead. But definitely, if he didn't wreck, he would be in better position. But Denny Hamlin had other ideas in his mind, and you never know what's going through their minds, but it's obvious. You know, it's the situation at hand. You're in the first round of the round of eight. You're in the semifinals. You're this close to packing your bags for Miami, and then all of a sudden it can change in 360 degrees, just like that, and it just happened from there. So this was, while I was standing on my feet, this was the most exciting, bizarre sequence yet, and it can only get such wilder at Texas. Of course, you make contact at high speeds, you ain't going to be that fast. You just ask Ryan Blaney going back to the first race there, where he had the dominant car of the day, and he got frustrated. It was a pit road mistake somewhere towards the end of the race. Took it out on Corey LaJoie, or one of the two, had damage to his car, and somehow finished in the top 10, but though that contact at those high speeds could definitely cost you. So definitely for the 24 team, for what they have to do is continue what they've done on the mile halves in the playoffs here, and they should be in good shape. I'm going to put him somebody to watch at Phoenix. He's still has a chance opportunity here to ride a ship here and come back from behind. We've seen this a couple of times in this format. Kevin Harvick, the first year of the format, 2014, way behind, had to win Phoenix. The season that he had, got the job done, and then he went on to win a championship. So it could be done in the way of the speed of the 24. He is clearly outrunning Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson has gone to sleep yet again, and I would have put my money, if I were a betting man, I would put my money on Chase Elliott than Jimmy Johnson right now. Of course, we all know Jimmy Johnson wants the eighth championship, but just don't see it. And I did say on the podcast that if Jimmy Johnson struggled at this place, that's a warning sign. And I know he's won multiple times at Phoenix and Texas, but this team just doesn't have it, lucking in to this position in the first place. So 48 has major issues here with two races to go before all gates close for the championship four. And I really just don't see them making it. I'm sorry. You know, you can count them out. You know, we don't count them out just yet, whatnot. But the performance isn't there. You know, spinning out a couple times in KC and then here. You know, making a gamble, that was one thing, but the speed, it wasn't there for that team. So definitely, you just can't order Houdini and get that speed in 24 hours. It don't work like that. It only works where, you know, you have at least the rest of the regular season to gain speed. It's just too little of a time right now for some of these guys. 48, even a 21 said they got to get their cars better a little bit. But 21, Ryan Blaney, they were up in the mix all afternoon run. all afternoon long. And there, he had his own battle with Kevin Harvick. That's another story. But back to the main theme here, EG3 show special on KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer here for just a few more minutes here. And of course, I'll be recording the podcast tomorrow. Check that out once it's loaded here at the end of the week. And of course, like I mentioned in the podcast last week, that I'll have a special announcement here next week during the podcast about the future going forward. Got some news with that as well. So definitely, the EG3ers out there, definitely tune in for that podcast. That is next week. But yes, again, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott have an agreement, disagreement. And the funny thing is about this, that Denny Hamlin is from Virginia, and he got the boot. He got the booze. And Chase Elliott by far got the crowd's attention. Everybody was siding with Chase that was there, and that was pretty bad. And Denny Hamlin also tried to go on, well, he did go on social media and tweet out an apology. Why didn't he do that? He had the opportunity, the mic, to do it at Martinsville, but apparently it wasn't the right time for him to do it. Let's just go behind social media to do that as well. I mean, I understand that, but you had clearly the opportunity in front of those fans to apologize, which he tried to sum it up in the best way he can and whatever he was doing. But Denny Hamlin did not do it then. He, I guess, thought, well, it wasn't the best time to do it given the situation. Chase Elliott was pissed off, and rightfully so, because he's had cars to win these races. Dover, Chicagoland, let's see, last week, a lot of opportunities that slipped through the finger cracks of the 24. And if Chase Elliott does not make Homestead, definitely circle that on the list there of missed opportunities. And we can kind of put Chase Elliott in the same category as Kyle Larson here. Kyle Larson did not get his first win until year three, and we're three races away from being entering year three for Chase Elliott with no wins. He's been awfully close to getting it done, but circumstances or other circumstances have cost him a chance to put the 24 car in victory lane. Now remember, Chase Elliott has three more races to try to get that done. Why? Because he's moving to the family number 9, back to the number 9 next year, while William Byron will occupy the 24 car. So you know Chase Elliott wants to get that thing in victory lane. The question is, can he get it done here in the round of 8, given the situation that he's in now? He's in a must-win situation, and he's going to have to need a lot of help in order to get back into frame. That's just the way it is right now with this format. You have a big mess up, and then you have to win. There's no getting around that. That's like Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Jay McMurray, those guys. You have one bad race, there's no way it's around. You can't make this stuff up. You got to go out there and win a race. And Chase Elliott, the speed that Eric brings to the racetrack, it could possibly happen. So I'm not counting that 24 out just yet. And to end the mini special with this, alright, so the fan, again, I'll probably talk about this in the podcast as well later this week. The fan obviously was a Chase Elliott fan, kind of an older guy. This was caught on video getting too close to Denny Hamlin. Obviously, the fan was upset at what happened of the situation, and rightfully so. The fans of any driver of the sport would be upset if you're in that situation. You're that close to Miami and being a part of the Championship Four, and it gets ripped away from you like that, thanks to Denny Hamlin. And who knows what he was thinking at that time. He was probably thinking, yeah, I have an opportunity to win. Ticket to Homestead was online, like Denny said in his post-race interview. And then the fan, from what I saw from Twitter last week, that he was definitely going for Denny Hamlin, trying to fight Denny Hamlin. Security got him to back off a little bit and head the other direction. Okay, so this is the only sport that you can be that close to the action, right? No other sport has this availability this close. I mean, yes, you have autograph sessions at baseball games, maybe occasionally football games, and maybe close enough to NBA basketball games as well, but you're not actually on the actual race, the actual playing surface. NASCAR, you're on the racetrack. You're on the grass, enjoying the pre-race concerts and whatnot. Baseball, you can't get on a diamond. Football, you can't get on the football field unless your team upsets number one ranked team in the country or number top five team in the country. Ohio State did it. The Penn State and a couple others. There's been some big upsets this year. Syracuse, a perfect example. Syracuse fans rounds the field, knocking off the defending champ Clemson. That's the only time you can be on the field. Basketball, NBA, you can't be on the field, or not on the field, the court, unless you're on, have special VIP passes or whatever. And then college basketball, you can't get on the court unless your team, again, same thing. You can't get on the field, on the court, unless your team knocks off the number top five team in the country. EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer here for this mini podcast special. But what I'm trying to say is, you can't get any better view access than NASCAR. It's awesome. Let me say that. You can go to the garages, take a picture, take a selfie, whatever. Get driver autographs to your favorite team. And whatever else you decide to do, you can go into the holler if you're one of the special guests. Like, I had an opportunity to go into Martin Truex Jr.'s holler earlier this year with NFL star K-State alum Jordan Willis. That was fun to see the whole tour of that. No sport gets that close. And one fan, that Chase Elliott fan, it's gonna blow it for us all. You just can't do that. I mean, yes. I mean, you can definitely get mad at your team, throw a fit, whatnot. But you can't do that. I'm sorry. One fan could blow it for everybody, for the nation that goes to these races every single year and has the opportunity to, get up close with your favorite driver, take a picture with them, and really connect, but really, cherish that moment. One fan in Martinsville on that night where Chase Elliott gets taken out nearly cost it for us. And I don't know how the rules are going to be now, since that has happened. Will it stay the same or will it change? Especially we're coming to the end of the year and people are getting crazy, not focusing, losing their heads like what that guy did. It is not... It's just not the right place to do that. You let Chase Elliott take care of that. Let your driver take care of that. Don't take it matter in your own hands. You gotta think smarter than just going over there and try to start a fight with a professional athlete. That is just not. That's unacceptable in my eyes. And definitely, he's probably lost his passes for infinity, really, because that's just really taking away from other fans the privilege to have a day at the races, have fun, cherishing the moments, and whether a driver wins the race, like I've seen twice this year, which has been awesome, or your driver finishes in the top 10, or he fortunately doesn't get to the end, whatever, it's still one of the best scenes in sporting events, getting that close to the action. And somebody blowing it. It's just not right. It's just not fair. You're doing everybody injustice and taking into your own hands what didn't happen to your driver. Now, Chase Elliott's my second favorite driver. And when Martin Truex Jr. is wrapped up with his racing career, when it's that time, Chase is going to be my next man, because he is from Georgia, and I'm from Georgia as well. So everybody's favorite driver has a good story that goes along with it. And one fan, guy, you just can't do that, man. I'm sorry. You're blowing it for the rest of us. You almost threw away a good thing, really. So I don't know how NASCAR will police this going forward. You know, given the circumstances of the situation, it ties all the way back to the situation. We're in playoff mode, not just the playoffs. We're in the semifinals now. And one win from any of these guys, now Kyle Busch in. One win from the next guy in the situation, we'll move on to Homestead. And by the end of this night, we could have possibly two drivers punch their ticket to Miami. We'll just see what happens with all the cards here this weekend. But man, you know, you just can't take anything for granted in this world. And opportunities like that don't last a lifetime. Obviously, it happens maybe a few times in your lifetime, getting this close to a sporting event and, you know, have an opportunity now. People have saw, you know, your team win the World Series, the Super Bowl, things like that. That's a feather in the cap. That's big. And it goes along with NASCAR as well, being a fan, going out there and just seeing the cars, seeing the teams in action and so forth. You can't get better access than that. And the fan just, I don't know what he was thinking at that time. Chase Elliott was already gave Denny Hamlin the business. Let Chase Elliott do that. Don't take things in your own hands. And that's just not really smart thinking by that fan. And what a punishment that was brought to him should be well deserved, because you almost cost us a very good thing in the playoffs. To all of us who watch NASCAR, who've been a big fans of the sport for quite a while, this is probably really the best thing that's probably happened, because if we don't have a situation, what do we do have? We probably still have the same thing going on right now. The plus, probably still the 12 drivers bound for a championship. We probably still have the normal Xfinity Series lineup or the schedule with no Final Four, and the same thing with the trucks. But prior to that, the trucks were the best thing action-wise, really, because even without the playoffs, you still had three or four drivers mathematically eligible for the championship. So again, I'll probably elude more on this later on the podcast, the main podcast this week, about this, but it just ties it all back together here this evening for you folks, that we're in a situation now that drivers are taking matters in their own hands in a situation, especially when you smell Homestead, and drivers are going to do what they need to do. And Elliott did what he needed to do with Keselowski, move him out of the way, and then Elliott gets the boot, and then not only that, he hits the wall hard, and his championship hopes are on the ropes pretty much here. I'm not going to say done, because that 24 team, I've said it the last few weeks, they are on the cusp of a win. It's just a matter of when that's going to come now for that team. So definitely a lot went down at Martinsville, folks, last week. Texas is going to even up the ante some more. It's going to be a fun final 2 weeks before we decide who goes to Miami to compete for the championship. We already know who one driver is, that in the person of Kyle Busch. That's going to do it for the EG3 Show podcast tonight, right here on KCSportsRadio.com and JPEG Sports Network. And again, I'll have a podcast this week, the main one, and we'll recap a wild weekend from Martinsville. Going to break down a lot of what took place as well. Of course, the playoff drivers and the Xfinity Series resumes action. Everybody, all the way to Homestead, folks. If last week, well, Kansas was crazy, Martinsville was crazier, Texas, it's about to go down. Shootout time, folks. Man, what a weekend last week. Eddie Greer saying thanks for tuning in to the special tonight, and stay tuned for more EG3 Show this week. playoffs, the semifinals, Chase Elliott says, it's on.